Let's play a game of word association. Now, obviously, because it's a podcast, I can't hear you when I say a word, so I'm going to fill in a word for you. So let's start off. Bat. Ball. Car. Road. Green. Trees. House. Warmth. Evolution. Darwin. Lamarck. Lamarck? Who is Lamarck? Now, we've played that game of word association where you associate one concept with another. And in general, there's some interest in it because your word association indicates sort of your natural thinking, what you associate words with. But there's a sort of another sinister side to word association in that you associate one word with another. Having two things associated with the same word, it's sort of A goes to B goes to C type of thinking. And it means that if we associate Lamarck, the person who actually did come up with the concept of evolution, that i.e. that animals gradually change from one form into another, from one species into another. If you say that, and people have had a strong word association of Darwin and evolution together, it's very uncomfortable to go across. And then you have this instinct. So some of you will be, oh, that's interesting. But I think the facts are probably 9 out of 10 people will start to raise heckles, start to associate the person who or the source which doesn't fit their word association with trouble. They'll get annoyed, their patience will go, they'll start to raise objections and stuff like that. And this is sort of important because this really goes deep down into the world of Lamarck. When you have sort of a society hemmed in by a structure, the royalty, the nobility, and the old order of things, the gentle order, and that operated by association, when people are released from this, because they've been schooled in a sort of an associative thinking, you then have the sort of the groundwork for association. That is, that person said that, so I associate him or her with another concept, and therefore I'll chop off their head with the guillotine. So it's sort of like that associative process has gone mad. So that's a hard sort of concept to go on, but that's my overall conclusion. When I sort of look at what I'm doing, and that's looking at a concept of, say, like the events of the French Revolution, where I go, oh, it started at this point in a tennis court, and there were these groups here, these groups were related back, I get a linear but complex story. Or another one is where I've said, oh, there's a polar bear, that's interesting, I'll follow that aspect across, and then I'll start to look at, I suppose, drawing up understanding of bears in many different cultures and uses, and the three types of menageries that were in operation, and the association symbolism of animals. Sort of all these complex things, which this method of thinking, which is more analytical, doesn't go with associative thinking. That is, cupboard, cutlery, whatever it is, this linear thinking which we're all associated with. And people aren't really aware of how committed they are to associative thinking, and how much they bend to associative thinking. So, which I suppose is another term, is prejudice in one way, or and there's sort of a remedy for prejudice of being anti-prejudice, but not being prejudiced by associating yourself with people who are not being prejudiced is probably It's a complex world. So it's this sort of analytical thinking that rather than just simply blurt out some facts with Lamarck, it's sort of like trying to educate a kid. You can actually just listen to what they believe in the first place and say, "You're wrong. Fire does not have life in it. It's proven, blah blah blah," and you don't actually step back into the way that they think and why they think fire has life, because of all their books. You know, fire will speak. We have religious and the burning bush. All these this complex thing for how they've actually got their association, and I've replaced it with my big association. So you're just really teaching, not necessarily deeper thought. You're teaching my association is the correct association, and associate my association with getting marks and getting through. It's sort of, you're not really advancing the area. So if I tell you, which I will eventually, the actual mechanism, the steps that Lamarck went through, and I say, well, it was overturned, or it wasn't accepted by Darwin, but then the experimental evidence or the way that it was done was not necessarily all that logical, and eventually people will turn off and say, oh, look, at the end of the day, some of it does actually work, because there's this reverse process from the body to the DNA, which we're discovering, but it doesn't work quite the way we think it. By the time you do that, people have a cognitive load, especially if they've been built up with an idea of associative thinking that is a glass water or glass cup, but simple A, B, C, and then what I say will allow you to associate me with a group, which will allow you to say I'm not in, and then cut off my head, so I don't want my head cut off. So you get sort of, it's an addictive thing, this associative thinking, and when you actually look at it, that's sort of the basis of a lot of terrors which have come through the ages. This associative thinking is something which really plugs into social power. So a social group who have got guns and more powerful people there, their associative thinking does actually matter at the end. So in this little podcast, this is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. I'm going to focus in on Lamarck's career, and try and do it as much as possible, but sort of associate that career or link it back to some broader concepts. One of the things is the industrialized scientist who looks at experimental evidence and it makes nature very much his witness, as opposed to a rationalist who uses logic and deep thought to expand the level of their thinking. Now, people say, "Oh, I don't associate that with anything." Well, Einstein was definitely a rationalist, and a lot of other people haven't been rationalists. Your average scientists, which we churn out of universities, if they're a rationalist, they'd be quickly cut down, or they're quickly cut down because a lot of their ideas, because the idea happens first, and then very, very slowly experimental evidence come across. That sort of thing that you don't want to necessarily hear from a graduate student. You're going, "Oh no, I think I may have had a dud. I want you to actually measure the voltage on a power system or something like that." Yeah, I don't want rationalist thoughts. But indeed, rationalism is really, religion is pure rationalism, simply because there's no hard experimental evidence for religion. And so a lot of the, I suppose, deeply religious philosophy or thought is rationalist thoughts. And when you really come down to it, Lamarck is making the first step by rationalism, and then Darwin's fine-tuning it with experimental evidence, if you can put those two together. So Darwin was your classic scientist going out into the field and examining things and being confronted by data, whereas Lamarck had the idea and searched for his support of his idea coming around the place. So one's inspiration leading observation, the other one is observation leading inspiration. Now, obviously, you have to be somehow inspired, because many people observe it, and you have to observe it and be that next person who inspired it. So the story to how Lamarck thinks is very much written in the Times. And so we've given a little view of the Times by giving you the story of the three estates coming together and very interestingly locking one estate out, but putting it in an environment where that estate is in a readiness to take charge, a problem solving mode. That's the start of the French Revolution. There's a lot of other economic factors coming in, sort of looking at the animals and the other animals, rather than Lamarck observing animals. The animals had a real part to play in human thought. So there's a lot of spirit within those animals. And this is an important thing, because people became quite concerned about animals, the fact at Lamarck, and Lamarck himself also rejected the idea of extinction. Cuvier, a French scientist, an experimentalist rather than a rationalist, but this rationalism in there said, look, we've got this evidence of mass extinctions in the past, and mass extinction was unthinkable because for people, because God, how could God kill off an animal? Because God's garden, all that process, God is special, God made all these things, and then I've made this animal, which has scurried around for a few million years, and then it's just gone. What's that all about? It was unthinkable. So you've got sort of rationalism there, religious rationalism there, directing experimental thought. So the two things aren't really, really separated. So we're going to look at Lamarck. He's, I suppose, a minor noble in the north of France, somewhere up there in sort of a farming area, minor noble with a large house and a sort of self-sufficient walled garden. This is all just information. I don't know where it's streaming in from. I think his, I don't know whether his father survived too long. Not the strongest, biggest person, but living a sort of rather insular, noble life, at a point decides that he'll go off to war, join the army. Now, at this stage, France and Prussia having a big war. Now, again, as I think of all these things, there's Frederick the Great of Prussia, and there's a story behind Frederick the Great which really deeply embeds in our current education system. So Frederick, let's start, say something, because Frederick the Great and the education system is something we understand, whereas we don't really understand sort of the education system, the religious education system of Lamarck. So I'll just start across to Frederick the Great. So he was his father. We have to go back and back again to Frederick the Great's father. So Prussia, Frederick the Great's the boss. The father was a disciplinarian, and Frederick the Great wanted to go across to Louis the 15th, 14th court with his male lover. And he was, you'll have to check these facts. These facts are just streaming to my head, and I can't double check them as they come out. I think it was 17, 16, went across to leave Prussia to visit the gay, and when I say gay, homosexual court acceptance of France, and he was stopped at the border. This is really, really important, because stopped at the border and taken back, captured back. The Louis and his male lover were taken to the father, and the father got very upset, and to teach Frederick the Great a lesson, executed the lover in front of him, and then sent him into the army. And so Frederick the Great, that was a big, there's many psychological things, but that really structured the way that he thought. And so when Frederick the Great emerged, he was very much into similar control, using the church, the state, the military, and militarized the Prussians. They're probably already militarized, but they had a religious terror happening in Prussia at that time. So the religious people were in charge, looking at people, sort of a movement of the Inquisition, but slightly forward through the Enlightenment across there. And one of the things he did was that when he was sent off to military schooling, he then instituted the first public schooling, national public schooling. So public schooling, when you actually go to it, you follow it back. There's Austrian Theresa, I think was her name, introduced public schooling in Austria, and then this really lent forward to the British introducing public schooling in 1860. It took a time to go through, but the spark was this. If you go right back, it's these complicated things. And of course, the Theresa had all these returning veteran soldiers. What do you do with them? And a lot of the veteran soldiers became teachers. So you've got the militarization of education through this long arc coming up to it. And so you have a militarization now with people parading and lining up, and bells, and almost saluting, and ceremonies. It's a sort of a paramilitary thing, which is very much different from the Lamarck education in French schools. And I've actually been to a French parish school in 1975. It was quite an experience. Wow, it's hard to say. Everyone hit everybody back then. But back then, the France of 1975 was a lot of children got hit and whacked around the ears and all that type of stuff. But getting back to it. So when we talk about schooling of Lamarck, it was a slightly different style of schooling, and he was educated by Jesuits, which is really, really important. So he had this conceptual idea. He went off to fight Prussia. So Prussia, Britain and France were competing powers. So Britain allied with Prussia. And Prussia was just absolutely mad. Prussia grabbed land from Austria. The Austrians and the Prussians began fighting with the Russians. And it's really hard to do. But the Seven Years' War was a pretty amazing thing to go across, but it was sort of pre-industrial war, the first sort of industrial war was probably the Napoleonic Wars. And so Lamarck actually just rode off on a horse with a servant off to join a French regiment. So this is like no military training, and he just somehow got a gun and eventually uniform, and got put into a unit. And this person who was really rationally trained, conceptually trained, when they were being overrun by the Prussians, he said, look, we hold our ground. It's, he had actually believed all the high-level thought that was existing in the nobility, and he just stayed his ground and held out simply due to stupidity. that was interpreted as bravery, and he got a lieutenant's commission within a very, very short time, partly because that's how luck falls upon nobility. They go up those directions. Came back and had a military life, and he was put in a garrison town, which allowed him to follow his pursuit of plants and observations. Now, one of the things that there's a lot of interest in plants and stuff like that, simply because animals are rather hard to follow and find. Plants are a bit, well, this is my interpretation, but plants are much more stationary, and you can sit and observe. It's almost stationary. They can't walk away, and you can pick them up, and they don't object to you ripping off a leaf here and there. And so there was a great European sort of initial science interest in plants, which so Lamarck was very much a plant guy, and we'll go to in his theories of evolution. We'll start to look at that. Now, back at this time, the plant analysis wasn't structured, so to speak. It sort of fell out of the world. Aristotelian plant analysis. So Aristotle just grouped plants by size. You know, there's trees and shrubs and green plants and non-green plants, and people got confused. Linnaeus, I can't pronounce him, a Swedish person. Again, I'm just going off the top of my head for just recalling data. Began to say, look, the real way to classify plants as by their reproductive systems, and he made big advances in descriptive biology or plant anatomy, so it's in that general thing that Lamarck was a soldier, real conception, but was put out to a garrison town, I can't remember in France where it is. All went well until while he was interested in thinking and doing various things. Look, and we'll just stop at this point in time. He's not the only person who used garrison time as sort of a paid philosophy time. And one of the most famous people is Descartes. Descartes was a soldier, and he was garrisoned for a long time, sort of a rather weak, sickly soldier. He hated the cold a lot, so it meant he stayed indoors and did a lot of thinking. So Descartes, another French philosopher. So this idea of being a soldier, not being used, but you know, being put on ice, ready for use. And now, it so happened that you can imagine Lamarck being a slightly thinner, weedy person. There was some really big, thick, heavy French soldiers. So you can imagine all the French soldiers, they wouldn't pick everyone and being a weedy person, because you just destroy them. You'd have a few big fat ones involved, and a big fat one had a drinking game where he picked Lamarck up by the neck and shook him. And of course this gave Lamarck a neck injury, and he was injured and pensioned out of the army. Being pensioned out of the army, I think at some stage in there, there's either before or after, he joined a seminary, or a religious belief. Now, again, the religious education was necessarily rationalist education, and the Jesuit education, which I had, was also deeply rationalist. You can't, at the end of the day, God and the angels had all the experimental data, and so you were just the lab rat in God's great experiment. So you really couldn't get access to the experimental data. You could only guess at what it could be. There's a sort of a rationalist window into experimental data. It's really hard to do to explain that, but having had Jesuit education, that's the best I can explain it. That there is experimental data. Yes, we can look at it. but really you are the lab rat, and other people have the experimental data. So Lamarck was a minor went to Paris and worked in the botany gardens. So there's a whole lot of things he couldn't do due to his weaknesses, and his has this rational education, and became into botany as a rationalist, and wrote his first book, which was a hit, and this was a way of ordering French or plants. So I think it's plants françaises or something like that. Based on the complexity of plants, so that this is a new sort of way, probably the first half step towards evolution by looking at the complexity and creating a ladder. But I promise this will be more to do with his career. And in the turmoil, the squeezing, the cost cutting, as you can imagine, he got cut off from... his career was cut short. He was just going to be dumped. At this stage, I can't remember whether he's married. Married three times. So the first time has six kids. Sort of these people have much shorter lifespans, particularly the women giving birth all the time, and so you have this. Sort of amazing relationship between men and women as you read back. So if it's sour, it's the sour for the whole life, or it's romantic, it seems to be romantic for the whole of the life, because the lives are relatively short and they're action packed with getting kids. There's not these phases which I observe now. But getting back to it. So I think he had the families to support. I really can't remember. I've got the data in, or the imagination in my head, but as I'm telling it, I haven't actually sort of equalised all the timelines in my head. And so there's this dramatic thing where we don't know where this has come from, or I don't know where it's come from. He, in a short night, furiously writes. The next day, he prints things up. This is almost like, I think it's Kinko, it's the ability to write and produce. And he produces a pamphlet, a large volume of pamphlets, and thousands of pamphlets. Why would you do this? Well, of course, the French Revolution's in massive turmoil. Everything's mad. You can't just sort of go up to the king and the king goes, click the fingers. You have to actually be a mass communication. So he produced pamphlets and spread it around the assemblies, and the assemblies were churning through things, and it's very much a variable feast. There's a lot of random stuff going on, and people read it and they give the thumbs up and they say, yes, you can have this institution. Well, so while other institutions were being decimated and replaced, and this revolution, this has happened in an incredibly short time. So from the king's death to Napoleon is only one or two or three years. So it's a huge terror, huge turmoil, starving, barricades up. The role of printers and presses and agents and all that type of stuff are all part of the sort of analytical view of looking at things rather than the associative thing. So I think if I just did association, people would do the revolution, they would associate it with the tricolour and that famous David painting of the woman with the exposed breast going over the barricade and the other person holding a pistol and stuff like that. And they wouldn't pick up some of the other nuances, but that sort of thing was happening in France. It's still an incredibly wealthy country. I don't know where all this money is coming from. And so again, in the turmoil, it's sort of like he's risen up and then he's sucked under again in all this turmoil. And when they're associating, allocating the professorships, he's done his homework enough to get the grant application, the new government reaching at these things, because again, by association, they wouldn't be associating the revolution with not doing science. It's sort of this enlightenment sort of suddenly exposed. It's like having a big planning meeting to for the future, and you're told you've got 6 months and then a day, and they say, right, let's go. There's all that confusion going on. Yeah, look, I'll have to head off to rehab soon. This is cardiac rehab, not alcohol rehab. So you've got all that confusion going on, and in that confusion, allocate the professorships and to this thing. They had so many paid professorships at the end of this grant application thing, and then they had a professorship that no one wanted, which was the one of insects and worms. Everyone else got glamorous ones, people got the other, I suppose, the vertebrates. So they inadvertently created the division of life invertebrates, and invertebrates came up because no one was interested in them, and so all of that came across. And in order to make the name, Lamarck had his theory of evolution, where he in the thing converted into the tree and branches of life. So I'll go into the actual evolution aspect of it. But then, again, he was kept very much political, kept down by the people who were putting through ahead these mass extinctions, which sort of went in with the idea of a revolutionary change and an old order being swept away. There's all that aspect. So because it was a turmoil thing and you had to actually be politically savvy, you couldn't accept and meld these ideas together. So Lamarckian ideas does not have extinctions. The extinct animals have changed. That's one of the things. So again, in his career, the career conflict between the extinction lobby, which is actually, I think it was a religious, lobby, because things went extinct and God said, I've made too many animals extinct. What did I have last time? I can't remember. Oh, here, have all these new animals. So it was sort of like a quasi religious thing going on. So it was just remarkable to go across. And so Lamarck kept on as he went on. I think eventually died in poverty, so his career petered out. So in this podcast, I've just given you an overview of the career. The view, I hope that you're thinking, or that I'm trying to get across, is the associative thinking, which is very much the thinking of terror, was what he's working with. And he actually did engage with associative thinking, but our thinking to see how he's evolved, how it came here, his evolutionary thinking, is also our thinking of going back and picking up individual threads and looking how they have evolved. Thanks for listening. Keep on thinking science. I hope this is a good podcast. Keep on teaching and thinking science.